If you're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Is Here Before You Die. This episode, we'll be talking about Kate Bush, The Sensual World. On the line, I have Rob.
Yes.
Ben.
Yes.
And Kyle.
Hi there.
The Sensual World is the 60th album by the English art rock singer Kate Bush, released on the 16th of October, 1989 by EMI Records. The producer was Kate Bush, and the genre is art rock and art pop. And I'm going to read from the book, Alex Rayner. If 1985's Hounds of Love saw Bush channel her adolescent high spirits for the last time, The Sensual World served as a coming of age. Having turned 30, she delivered her most rounded, mature album to date. She acknowledged her Irish heritage, taking inspiration from the Celtic instrumentation, and at least in the case of the title track, from James Joyce's most sensual of characters, Molly Bloom. There is a broader folk influence here, which is partially down to Bush's brother, Paddy, a fan of ethnic music. It is he who introduced her to the trio Bulgark, traditional Bulgarian singers who appear throughout the album. Michael Naiman arranges strings on Reaching Out, Nigel Kennedy appears on The Fog and Heads Were Dancing, and David Gilmour plays on Love and Anger and Rocket's Tail. Even her father, credited as Dr. Bush, contributes spoken word dialogue on The Fog, a song nominally about a parent teaching her child to swim, symbolism that is not hard to decipher. Although champions of her teenage spectral kneeling might have wished that she remained forever young, Kate breaks new ground, welcoming an era where global influences are paired with computerized proficiency. There is a distinct quality of womanly sexuality to The Sensual World, too, as well as an attempt to address an audience outside of her Kentish backyard. Whereas once she sounded as if she was the happiest playing organ in a barn behind her parents' house, here she sings as a fully accomplished recording artist ready for international success. All right, what do we think of Kate Bush, The Sensual World?
First listen, this is awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's another masterpiece. Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, she did really well. It really took me a minute, though, to get into this one. I was, you know, Hounds of Love.
It's dense.
Yeah, it's real dense, and it has something that kind of like washes over you. People keep using the word mature album.
Yeah, I kind of hate that.
Yeah, it's... I think they're trying to say it's not as playful or bombastic. And she acknowledges that, you know, within this album. But it feels a little bit like a slight, even though, you know, it's another Kate Bush album. I mean, what more?
I think it's a total slight. Yeah,
there's a complete slight. No one talks about fucking Bowie or Prince that way. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Not at 30.
Yeah. Oh,
you still got a little bit of milk left in those teats.
Oh, Jesus. But no, I like orchestration wise, like just song construction wise, her fucking vocal delivery, the lyrical content, it's just she's fucking destroying all of her contemporaries. It's crazy how good she is at everything.
Yeah, at 30.
Literally everything.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of this stuff is like so high concept. And
I know. That was one thing that, Kyle, that was one thing that bummed me out is when I started reading into it. I was like, oh, this kind of seems confessional. That's cool. And I was like, oh, no, these are just books I've never read. And never will. Fuck you, Ulysses. It'll never happen.
I actually, after reading about this album, sent me down a rabbit hole that ended with me ordering a copy of Ulysses. It actually,
oh shit,
it shows up today. Yes. Amazing.
Oh man.
Yeah, I was reading about the title track, and it's an interesting story.
It's wild.
Yeah, I've never read Ulysses. I'm looking forward to reading Ulysses, but it's like a day in the life of a dude, and I guess the last chapter of it is a soliloquy by the dude's lady, Molly Bloom, and Kate Bush. She was using that soliloquy as the words of the song, but they couldn't get clearance from the Joyce estate to use those. So she changed all the lyrics to be lyrics that would still stand in. So like I pulled up like the
jumping soliloquy. Right off the page, man.
They're jumping right off the page. Yeah. She changed it from being the actual books on the page to a story about the words jumping off the page.
Yes.
But if you like, yes. If you listen to the track and read the soliloquy, it matches up the cadence of the lyrics perfectly. It yep. like fits right on top of it. And I guess in like 2011, she did get permission from the Joyce estate to use those words. So she re-recorded it, retitled it Flower of the Mountain,
which is the mountain.
Yep. And she re-recorded it with the originally intended James Joyce lyrics.
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is wonderful. I find it really interesting too, because the prose of that soliloquy it's complicated, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just da 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 da. It's a very complex arrangement, and then having to rewrite that in that voice, completely blew me away as well.
Yeah, and like in the soliloquy, the sentences are broken up sporadically by yeses, like orgasmic yeses, you know?
Yes.
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 Did you guys look into the song Heads Were Dancing?
No, mm-hmm. I did not.
Mick Karn of Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Playing his fretless bass.
Oh, it does sound good on that one, yeah.
And is it Heads, like, is it Heads We Are Dancing?
Heads Were Dancing, like Heads or Tails? Heads were dancing, tails were not.
Okay.
It's about like this lady who meets some handsome guy in a bar in 1939. And, you know, he's like, heads were dancing, and it's heads, and she has a dance with him. And the next day she finds out he's Hitler.
Yep.
What?
Surprise Pikachu face.
Oh, man. I thought I heard over the multiple times listening to this record, like her saying Hitler. I was like, oh, that can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely she's not saying Hitler.
She had a little sexy dance with Hitler in 1939.
Yeah, yeah. And it was from a real story, not about Hitler, but about a friend who had gone to a dinner party with Oppenheimer and you know, was not aware of who they were talking to, and they just said, "Oh, this person, you know, at this party was so, you know, charming and very nice." And then they realize it's, you know, Robert Oppenheimer, and they're like, oh my god, like they
way to go, father of death.
They had like almost a realization that the person they, you know, were dancing with could be the devil, or, you know, yeah, could be the devil, or these people that you meet, you know, it's, they have a completely separate life than maybe when you're meeting them. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, all the songs had like some interesting like story behind them.
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the work of a genius.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. she is constantly the smartest, most talented person in the room wherever she is. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's nice that here in the summer of 2022, she is getting a nice resurgence in popularity.
Yeah, man.
He's made $2.5 million off of a song from the mid-80s because nice. Of that's, Netflix.
It's that, so cool. That's actually awesome.
That makes her the oldest either person or woman to have a number one like hit like stateside.
Amazing.
Like she beat out Cher's Can Believe in Light after Love or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. I still maintain Hounds of Love is one of the best records, period. And
Hounds of Love,
like top five of the 80s.
Oh,
yeah. How did you feel coming off of that album to this album?
Hard turn, man. It was a hard turn. Because I don't like there's some like Synclavier on here, but she's not programming anymore. It's like her partner doing all that work. So yeah, it's a hard turn away from like synth to just more folk like oriented stuff, which I'm into. But no, it was just it was surprising, and I was hoping for some more like, you know, big like bombastic like pop like things, but you know, over multiple listens, I'm a complete convert. Like this is
I was gonna say that I had the exact same sort of realization that it's like, oh man, where'd those fun synths go? Like where did all the
Fairlight drums go?
Yeah, Fairlight and drum loops go. And then I'm kind of like, actually, you know what, this, you know, Ulian pipes and the sort of bells and the backing vocals, and I was like, this might, like, eventually, it's not, definitely not there yet, but I was like, eventually this might surpass for Hounds of Love. I'm not nowhere close to that yet, but I'm like, it's really growing on me is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the production, like some of the soundscapes, like Never Be Mine.
Yeah.
Like that, just the guitar and the way it blends into like the layers of synth. It just, and it doesn't sound like small, compressed like a lot of, you know, stuff did in the mid 80s. It sounds full, it sounds big.
Yeah, still working in their you know,
the barn
what we call the barn, but you know, their homemade studio. And that was a big part of her persona at the time too, is that she was kind of a reclusive artist that really wasn't into, you know, being famous and going out on the town and showing off, or she didn't need to be in the spotlight. She would just, you know, be there working in the barn and
working on masterpieces.
Yeah, working on the best
building best a songs. Mystery.
I was really into the Ulian pipes on the first track. I thought it was really cool. It's such a cool effect, and like knowing kind of like the story of the song, like the pipes themselves almost sound like sexual, you know. They're doing their little moany sounds, you know.
It's a horny track, bro.
It's a horny track. Speaking of horny tracks, what did you guys think of Deeper Understanding?
Loved it.
Isn't that cool?
It was amazing.
Yeah, the Execute song. Yeah.
Humans replacing human relationships with technology. Talking about that in 89, before anyone's ever had a smartphone.
Are you lonely? Are you lost? This voice console is a must. I press Execute.
She was reading Philip K. Dick.
It's a very Stephen Hawking inspired song.
Yeah, I really like the backing.
Are you talking about referencing the vocoder, Kyle?
No, I mean, she wrote it because she was inspired by Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She also, I have a little quote here about that song from Melody Maker 89. She says, when working on Deeper Understanding, the idea was the verses were the person and the choruses were the computer talking. They wanted the sound to sound like angels. They tried it with vocoders, processors, affecting the voice. And then that's when they got the trio Bulgark.
Bulgarka.
Yeah, Trio Bulgarka. So that it would sound like old, deep, powerful, like really intense.
Well, it sounds great.
Yeah. No, I was very, very into that song. So much that I listened to the re-recorded version with different effects. And yeah.
Yeah, I heard that she finally found the vocal effects she wanted, so she re-recorded it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's on the same as it's called Final Cut.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With the re-recorded Sensual World too.
Cool.
I don't know if I prefer it though. I think I like these originals better. I mean, it might just be the sort of like process at the time, but there's something special about these for sure.
I don't want to skip to anything, but that last track is a staggering achievement.
It is.
This woman's work.
And it has a huge history, like, of being featured in pop culture. Did you guys look into that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Houston, John Hughes, she's having a baby.
Yeah. It was also featured in season 2, episode 1 of The Handmaid's Tale.
No, that song, perfect closer, super inspirational this week, especially this week for me.
Yeah.
I was just like not having a great week and it came on and I was like, all right, Kate Bush. All right, good. Yeah.
I mean, we should probably say what it's about. It's about being forced to confront an unexpected and frightening crisis during the normal event of childbirth.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Yes.
And it's a very powerful song.
Yeah.
It is.
Amazing song.
Ben, as a father, do you have anything you want to add? Does that song stir up anything in you?
I mean, it is a very powerful song, but it didn't necessarily like transport me back to the day my child was born and have that kind of effect on me.
Well, why are you so mad, Ben?
But Kyle, you know me. I'm not as much of a lyrics person.
I was joking.
I'm with you on that. You guys want to know what a Kreisgau thought about this?
Sure.
I'll tell you right now.
I'm sure he loved it.
The longing for contact and obliteration are themes grand enough to support a little grandiosity, and because she's smarter than the average art rocker, she brings something worth telling to them. Even something worth expressing. Those are in quotes. She knows herself better, too. Typical that her roots move is Trio Bulgarka, rather than some Afrosaurus having nothing to do with who she is. Just wish she convinced me that Trio Bulgarka had more to do with who I am. The title song could give Henry James a boner. The one where her beloved turns into Hitler is art rock. B.
Okay. Too that this album is the autumn album. If the Hounds of Love is the, you know, spring summer, this is the autumn winter.
Is it because she's 30 and it's the autumn of her womanly life?
Well, I think that, but also it talks about that sort of
get on that ship and sail off to where the elves go.
It's like sadness, hope, reflection, loss, you know, like new beginnings. In endings, in the autumn, things like that. Also, there's a line in Never Be Mine that's called "They're setting the fire to the cornfields as you're taking me home."
That's pretty autumn.
Yeah.
Can't set fire to the cornfields in the summer. They're too green.
You cannot.
They won't burn.
But yeah, I thought that was a good, it made a lot of sense to me.
I can see this being an autumn album.
Instead of thinking Absolutely. Of it as two sides of a coin, thinking of more of a spectrum of time. It's good though, man. I do have one qualm with this album. I think though is it Never Be Mine? I think it's Never Be Mine. Sounds. It has a little bit of a reflection of the sensual world. Like the arrangements on some of the songs have a little bit of the similarities, which is good because it flows very well. But at the same time, she has enough craft that she crafts really unique songs throughout mm-hmm. the album. And there was like one, maybe two that was like, very similar with the Ulian pipes, with the backup singer, you know, having the same arrangements. That was not the case, though, on the second song with David Gilmour's guitar, Love and Anger.
Oh, yeah. Man, so my first listen through, I didn't like read anything or write anything down. I was just listening to it. And when we got to track 9, Rocket's Tale, mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, man, this reminds me of like an epic Pink Floyd rocker, yeah. you know, yeah. And then when I was reading, like, oh, David Gilmour plays guitar on this album. I'm like, oh, is it that song? Nope. It's a totally different song. Wait, and
he does play on 9, though.
Oh, does he? I thought he just played on Love and Anger.
Nope, 2 and 9.
Okay.
You were right.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I would feel really weird if a song reminded me of Pink Floyd and there's a guy from Pink Floyd here and it's just not on that one.
Yeah, David Gilmour's been a Kate Bush champion since like day one.
Yeah, he's the one that got her signed.
Yeah.
Literally day one.
Yeah. literally day one. Yeah. Yeah, also who's the other guy? Who she teamed up with quite a bit.
Peter Gabriel,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This gave me a lot of that introspective Peter Gabriel
oh,
sure. vibes.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Yeah.
I was but don't also give up yeah. Peter Gabriel vibes from this record.
Yeah. I love that. I love having that connection because it's like two different wavelengths that are I guess the same wavelength, but you know, two different people kind of getting into the same thing.
It's all prog, baby.
Yeah.
That's true.
I know.
It's the tie that binds. Progressive rock, the tie that binds.
Where's my D20? Yeah, man. I fucking love this. I've loved everything that Kate Bush has done that's like been introduced to our ears via this thing. I've loved Kate Bush before this project started. I love the fact that like she has a number one hit single in 2022. From 1985. It's fucking amazing. She deserves every accolade thrown at her. Absolutely. And like, yeah, she's a singular voice that more people need to fucking know about. More people need to be listening to Kate Bush. This is high concept, smart, fucking rad pop. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Rob is shaking his fist up and down. You guys can't see.
more people than June of 2022.
I hope June of 2020, I hope that this past June, people dig a little bit deeper. I mean, I hope they listen to the entirety of the Hounds of Love like album, I hope they just jump fucking full into her catalog because it's, it's one of the best.
Yeah. I hope we get some reissues.
Oh, yeah. I kind of feel bad. There was an artist a couple years ago, I want to say Halsey, who covered Running Up the Hill and played it on like SNL like 2 years ago. And then the song blows up. That's gonna hurt a little bit.
I should hope not. I think he would be, or whoever they are, would be pretty excited that the song they covered, the original, blew up. You know, like, do you want to get famous off of the cover you did? Or are you going to be stoked that the song that you love got famous again?
Should we ask Alien Ant Farm?
That's good point, Kyle.
That song got canceled, Kyle. we don't talk about that song anymore.
Stay Tonight. Fight the Break of Dawn.
Oh, the Buckeye Cherry?
No, it's Eagle Eye Cherry.
Eagle Eye Cherry. Buckeye Cherry.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Who did that Crazy Bitch song? Who is that? Buck Cherry.
Yeah. That was Buck 09.
Oh, boy.
Believe you're thinking of Buck Owens Cherry.
Freedom cost a Buck 09?
I think it's a Buck 05. Anyways, what do you guys think of this album?
I'm really into it. I'm going to continue listening to it. This was my first listen to it this week. Unfamiliar with this one. I don't think I'd heard any song on it. Yeah, but I'm really into this record. High praise from Ben.
Yeah, thumbs up. Listen to this record. Put on some headphones. Treat yourself.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. It's just as relevant today as it was fucking 30 years ago.
I concur with everything, especially with listen to this through something that isn't an earbud or your phone speakers or your laptop. Jeez. Fucking take the time, get this thing into your ears, like there's a lot of shit happening in the background that I can say this with full honesty. Like, I normally like have like a little headphone or a Bluetooth headset that I'm listening to, and the difference between what I am hearing right now versus what that thing is delivering, it's night and fucking day. Like, it sounds 1,000 times better through a decent set of speakers or headphones. So,
yeah, I think that's something that is really lost on people when they talk about Kate Bush too, is the production and the composition is so astounding and very so impressive. I can't overstate that. Yeah, really wonderful stuff. Total positive for me though. And yeah, I feel like I'll just this one's going to grow on me even more.
I
can't
agree.
Get enough of it though.
Yeah. This is a worthy addition to the canon.
That's right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think this is our last Kate Bush. Yes. So goodbye, Kate. Thank you for Kate. All of the
thanks
fond,
for all the fish.
So long and thanks for all the fish. Yes.
I think this is the song. Yeah, this is the song. Never Be Mine. I was a little like, kind of sounds a little like The Sensual World. Like it just has it's like.
Slight, I see what you're saying.
I could hear that.
It's a little too similar that I was like, it feels like they had all the players in the same room, and I know it's different, and I don't dislike it. It's just one of those things that's like,
you wouldn't play them back to back.
Yeah,
in a set,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
I would not track these back to back. Has those the pipes and yeah. All right, next time we'll be talking about The Cure, Disintegration. Right, thanks, y'all.